The track you're running on may look okay, but lurking ahead is a trap. One wrong step, and you're on a side road, permanently. The world is no friend to the committed Christian. Temptations abound, which can ruin your life and the lives of others. Today, a big picture view of a great battle as the enemy of your soul seeks to do you in. Heed the warnings for the road ahead and stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we begin a series on seven secret snares, traps any of us could fall prey to if we're not watchful. In this first message in the series, Erwin Lutzer sets the stage by saying to all of us, welcome to the war.
I know that we prayed just a moment ago, but would you bow your head one more time? Father, whenever your word is preached, barriers are put up to its truth. Because by nature we do not want to be touched, either by its power or its conviction. And so we ask in these moments that you might graciously take those barriers down and reach to us in love and let us just be honest. And we pray that in our honesty you might meet us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I think that if we were honest, we'd admit that there is a war that takes place within us. Sometimes the war rages, sometimes it subsides, but it's always there. There are different ways that the war can be described. It can be described as the struggle of the flesh and spirit. It can be described as the struggle between what we know what is right and that which is right, and that which we really desire to do. And oftentimes we follow those desires because, quite frankly, those desires, they promise us happiness. They tell us, you follow me and I will finally give you the pleasure that you so richly deserve. But the pleasures that we're talking about today cannot keep those promises. We're talking about the war within and how it might be won. Take your Bibles today and turn to James, James chapter 4. James 4, he begins by asking a question which all of us, I think, have asked, and he gives the answer to it. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Isn't that the source? James here may be talking about a number of different quarrels and fights. He might be talking about quarrels within the church. You remember the church in Corinth, they had their quarrels. One person said, I am of Paul, another of apostles, and so they had their various cliques, their various groups, and Paul says, you're acting like children, you're acting like immature people. Grow up and understand the centrality of it all is Christ. Maybe it's those kinds of quarrels. Maybe it's the kind of quarrels that sometimes go on in your vocation at work, in the bank or the factory or the hospital. Oftentimes, a lot of unsaid quarrels are going on, and tension begins to build, and you have animosity, and at any moment, it could very easily be fanned into a flame. Maybe James has in mind the quarrels that sometimes happen in our homes. There's some homes where there's so much hostility, so much tension, that it doesn't take much until two people, usually the parents, are shouting at one another, and over every small matter that becomes a huge issue because of the level of frustration, the level of anger. James asks the question. He said, what is really the source of all of these quarrels and all of these fights? He says, it is the desires that battle within you. The desires. What I'd like to do today is to help you to notice that James actually talks about two conflicts. Maybe three, but we'll boil it down to two. First of all, he says there is a conflict within us. A conflict within us. You'll notice he says that these desires, the Greek word is hedonai, from which we get hedonism. These pleasures within us, he says, they battle within us, and we all experience the tension. Paul says that the spirit and the flesh, they war against my mind. We know that battle. Now, these desires may be revenge. And I'm sure that the two young men who shot as many students as they could as they went into that schoolroom, they were desirous of revenge, and as they were blowing people away, for a moment it apparently felt good because at last they were to even the score, they thought. Foolishness, perverseness, and stupidity. But isn't that why people do what they do, is desires that have run amok? It could be revenge. It could be covetousness. You know that this is actually an introductory message in a series titled Seven Snares. And we're going to talk about greed and gambling and alcoholism and pornography and immorality and the pleasures of life and occultism. Snares into which we can fall, which eventually will strangle us. But isn't that why some people fall into gambling and into all kinds of sins? It is because of the love of money, and it is the sin of covetousness which lies at the heart of greed and debt. Or it could be another desire. It could be lust. It could be self-seeking. And these desires, if we simply pursue them and say, well, that's the way I am, they will lead us to despair and lead us to emptiness and guilt. James says that these do battle within us. Now let's take one of the ones we'll be discussing in detail. Let's take, for example, alcoholism. Here's an alcoholic who has cursed that bottle 1,000 times and sworn it off. But he's back the next day because the bottle mocks him. Here's a gambler who says, never again, but after all, he's so far in debt because of his gambling, he has to win it all back. So he throws it all away in one more rush to happiness. And suddenly it's gone. And here you have these desires within us that conflict, because every time we do these things, they backfire. You know, it's something like a person awash in an ocean, and he's in a boat, and he's going somewhere, but he's lost and he can't get back, and he is out of water, fresh water. And here he is, surrounded by all of this water, and the water seems to say as it laps against the boat, drink me, drink me, drink me. I'm wet, I'm accessible, and if you do it, you will quench your thirst. But he takes it, and what does he discover? Well, simply this, that the more he takes, the thirstier he becomes because of the salt, and soon that which looked so good to him ruins him. What an interesting statement that James is making here regarding the battles of the desires, he says, that are within us. And so you can just imagine now, all of these things, oftentimes done in secret, the snares that we've talked about, they are done in secret, but in being done in secret, they only cause the erosion of the soul, and the tension of trying to keep the whole thing hidden is so powerful, along with the sense of guilt and shame. How would you like to live with a person like that? I know it's quiet in here right now, but some of you are saying, Pastor, I do. I'll tell you, it's difficult. I can't help but think of those fellows who came out of a tavern drunk, walking along, and someone had smeared some strong-smelling cheese under their noses. And as they walked into the clear night air, they said, the whole world stinks. Now, there are people like that, who see the whole world as the problem, and they don't see themselves as being a part of the problem. James says, it's the desires that we fight within, the battle within. But it gets worse. What James says is, it is not only the desires that are within, and by the way, he says you want something and you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. I don't think that he's saying they physically killed one another. I think it's a figure of speech, something like Billy, who said regarding his brother, I wish he wouldn't kill me so often. The simple fact is that you have people here who are quarreling and coveting and damaging one another's reputations and having so much hatred that in their hearts they are murderers. But James is saying all that is happening and you covet and you can't have what you want and you're not getting what all of these things promised you. That's the battle that takes place within. Now I want you to look at the text and see the battle that takes place with God. Notice this, we are actually in the middle of verse 2. We have to pick it up there in the middle. You do not have because you do not ask God. I need to stop there and simply say that oftentimes Christians don't have God's will because they don't even stop to ask Him. Have you ever had the experience of doing something that hasn't worked out well and then later on you begin to think, you know, I never even prayed about this, you think to yourself when it's too late. You know, because of the fact that Christians sometimes are mismatched in marriage, you do know that, don't you? That there are some very, very unhappy Christian marriages. I wish I could tell you that when you have Jesus in your heart, you know, you're just going to have a happy marriage and everything is going to be sweetness and light, but that's not the way it is. But sometimes I say to these couples, and it has to be done tenderly because you don't want to rub salt in their deep wounds, but when you were in that courting stage, and when you were planning to be married, did you actually consult God? That's a good question to ask. Sometimes, in all due honesty, I've heard things like this. No, I was afraid to consult Him. Because in the depths of my soul, I thought He might say no. Yes, my friend, I can think of many instances when there are people who wish that they had consulted God. How foolish we are to go ahead and to make decisions just on the basis of our desires or what seems right to us. Always invite God into your life in the decision-making process. Well, as you know, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm encouraging you today to seek Him. In the book of James, it does say very clearly, you have not because you ask not. And it also says that sometimes we ask amiss that we might be able to consume God's answer on our own desires. That's kind of a loose translation. It's so important that when we come before the Lord, it is without an agenda. It is without the idea that we want to convince Him to see things our way. Prayer means that I come into the presence of God to see things His way. So I'm going to conclude today by asking you a question. What is there in your life that you need to expose to the Lord God in all honesty, in all openness, and in all brokenness? God is there to meet us when we really get serious.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of Welcome to the War, the first message in a series on seven secret snares. In the days ahead, we'll deal with gambling, alcoholism, pornography, sexual freedom, and the occult. Don't miss any of these broadcasts. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in Dr. Lutzer's book, Seven Snares of the Enemy. This book will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.